Good afternoon. Welcome to another episode of Logan's Devotions and another week as we continue our way through the letter to the Corinthians. That's 1 Corinthians. But before we turn to our passage, let us begin with a time of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for another day and another week and another opportunity to open up your word. Lord, as we turn to your word now, we do pray that you would use it to benefit us and bless us, that we might appreciate more clearly your Son, and that we might know your ways more faithfully and walk in them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we're turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and picking up where we left off. We're going to begin in verse 17 and read through to 25. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. And not with words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Well, if there's one thing that marks the Protestant Church since the time of the Reformation, it has been the preaching of God's word, the public reading and exhortation of the scriptures. Since the time of Martin Luther and John Calvin and onwards, it has been one of the true marks of the church. And where the church has failed to continue this gospel witness of proclaiming God's word, the church has languished. And where the church has thrived and placed great emphasis upon the preaching of God's word, the church has flourished. That is one of the evidences as you look throughout church history and see where the church is strong. One of the things you will always find is strong, faithful, biblical preaching. However, the world thinks that's nuts, let's be honest. Not only the world, but now much of the church. Much of the Christian church, whether they're true churches or not, they look and despise upon the emphasis of preaching. They say, it's not enough. We need something more. We need fancy music. We need bands. We need smoke machines. We need laser lights. In fact, I can remember a couple of years ago reading an article written by a pastor in America. And this pastor had struggled with a small church for a number of years, and then he had the smart idea of getting a big band, buying a smoke machine, and putting some laser lights in. And their church went from 50 people to about 500. And he was explaining in this article how things like smoke machines and laser lights are God's methods to reach today's people. And that the reason much of the church is struggling is because we're failing to use the means and the methods that God has given us. And he was quite happy to throw out the preaching of God's word in exchange for these other things. Well, pragmatism says that that makes sense, but the scriptures don't. And Paul didn't. Paul, thinking about his own ministry, says that he's effectively been called to do one thing, preach Christ crucified. Now, that for you and I, if we've spent any decent amount of time in the church, preaching Christ crucified isn't very jarring, is it? We talk about it quite often. In fact, we hear sermons on it quite often. But ponder for a second just that statement, preaching Christ crucified. Crucified. You know, we have crosses around our necks. Well, some people do, I don't. Some people have crosses around their necks. What is that? Well, it's a torture and death device. It seems a bit bizarre, really, if you think about it. What would you think of a person who had a hangman's noose around their neck? Or if they walked around with an electric chair or a mini gas chamber hanging from their neck or a gallows hanging from their neck? Wouldn't you think that was an absurd thing to do? And yet, we, royal we, walk around with crosses around our neck. And we talk about a Jesus who died on a cross. And we love to sing the power of the cross. This the power of the cross. We love to sing about our crucified Saviour. It all just seems a bit nuts, really, doesn't it? Why do we do that? Well, Paul tells us very well, doesn't he? He says that he doesn't preach with eloquence. In other words, he doesn't seek to flower up his messages or make them fancy, but rather he preaches Christ crucified, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. And in verse 18, he says, "The word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." And then down in verse 21, he says, "In the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom. It pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe." Do you get the point here? Paul's looking at the message. He's looking at the cross of Christ. He's looking at the crucified Savior. And he's saying, in that is the power of God. In the proclamation of the truth and the promise that God saves through the death of Jesus, that is what we proclaim, because in that is the power of God for salvation. Whereas in the proclamation of eloquence and wisdom and worldliness, nothing will ultimately be achieved. Yes, we may attract crowds. Yes, we may get a name for ourselves. Yes, we may become famous. But it will be powerless. It will be like the wisdom of the Greeks, like the philosophy of the Greeks. Much of it good, much of it true, much of it useful, but none of it sufficient to save anyone from their sins. And that's the key in this. Why does the church, or why should the church, place emphasis upon the preaching of God's word and the exaltation of the cross of Jesus Christ? Because that is where we find salvation. So let me ask you, does your pastor preach Christ crucified? Not explicitly every Sunday. It's not that every Sunday the message is Jesus died on the cross for you, but rather that the foundation of Christ crucified is at the heart of every message declared. That everything he says flows out of the cross of Christ. I think it's John Piper puts it that it's not that every road should lead to the cross, but rather every sermon should flow out of the cross. You see, we preach the law because Christ has died upon the cross. We can exhort people to pray because Christ has been crucified. You see, everything we declare flows out of the cross of Jesus, because that is where our hope is, that is where our salvation is found, and that is what God has given us to proclaim. And the implication for you, if you're not a preacher, is that you need to seek the preaching of Christ crucified above everything else. Don't look for a church which has got a beautiful building. Don't look for a church that has amazing music. Don't look for a church which has great discipleship groups, but look for a church that has as at its very heart and core the message of the gospel, Christ crucified. Why? Because Jews seek a sign, Greeks seek wisdom, but neither of those things have hope. Rather, as Paul says, we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. You see, the message that we proclaim, the world hates and stumbles over it. They can't comprehend it. They can't understand it. Yet, that does not change the fact that for you, it is the power for salvation. And that simple message that Jesus Christ died upon a cross for your sins is sufficient to proclaim and herald the glory of salvation, and that you can put your hope in it and be assured of a salvation to come. Because even this, which seems like such folly and weakness, Paul says, well, it's wiser than men and it's stronger than men. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for the folly of the cross, for the weakness of the cross, for in it we find your salvation. We pray that you'd help us to trust in that and to seek that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thanks so much for joining me for another day. I'll see you back here tomorrow afternoon.